sun is coming in so much, it's hard to see your face.
Don't worry about seeing my face. I need to be able to see the pages.
Oh.
My eyes are poor and I need the light. When people hear of Sesshin or reflect on Sesshin, they sometimes believe that what's difficult, what requires our effort and what we bump up against in Sesshin, is the long periods of sitting throughout the day. It's true, that's one important part of Sesshin. But in a way, a much more difficult for us is what the Sesshin cautions point to. Maintaining non-talking or non-speaking. Maintaining non-looking around. And what flows from those is the natural not attending to social interactions, courtesies. Because the habits of those are so strong, whether it's talking out loud or talking internally to ourselves, all sorts of commentaries and chit-chats. See? It's not just the not talking. Occasionally in Sesshin we talk. I'm doing it right now. See? Seeing me is less important now than hearing what I say. But despite the fact that occasionally we talk, we maintain non-talking. And another side or facet of that is the non-looking around, whether it's at what others are doing, looking around just to have comments, looking around to have stimulus to go off into all sorts of daydreams, or looking around internally into all sorts of past stories and past ideas and future ideas and all sorts of other ways where we look around. That's much more difficult. I think you will notice the strength of the habits of talking either out loud or to oneself, of mental chit-chat, of looking around, comparing, judging, figuring out, planning. And the social interactions that grow from that. Being able to let those arise and pass without engaging in them or feeding them or noticing when we do engage in them and want to follow them along, to miss this life moment, not because they're something else, but because they blind us to our life by, I'll use the word, entangling us in the chit-chat habits and reactions to them. So, yes, sitting still, upright, walking, being present, being zazen, walking, sitting, may be difficult, but it's important to know that the zazen is difficult, if we use such a word. It's really not difficult, but not easy. It's requiring us to be the zazen of non-talking, non-looking around, and all that flows from that. Or to notice how often we slip into our usual habits. And the consequences of that. So I bring this up to encourage us to notice when that happens. No big deal. Whether it slips out, whether the chit-chat occurs inside or outside, when we notice we slip into it, that's when our effort of maintaining non-talking, non-looking around is required. So, the case we spoke of yesterday, I'll repeat it and then we can continue. Case 20 of the Book of Equanimity, Book of Serenity, Shoyoroku. Ditsang asked Fayan, "Where are you going?" Fayan said, "Around on pilgrimage." Ditsang asked, "What is purpose of pilgrimage?" Fayan said, "Don't know." Ditsang said, "Not knowing is most intimate." At that, Fayan had an awakening. The verse, before we get to the verse, we've spoke of this yesterday, but I want to bring up a few more points. This not knowing most intimate, or that's it, not knowing that's it. It's easy for us to misunderstand. Of course, in the face of knowing and all the knowing habits that we want to be entangled and wrapped in, not knowing is important to raise up. But we shouldn't get caught in not knowing most intimate. We should be clear on this most intimate, not knowing what he's saying to him. As many of you know, there's a word, there's a nice old case involving Nanshan, and where he says, the way is not in knowing, nor in not knowing. Knowing is false consciousness. Not knowing is indifference or unconsciousness. Ordinary mind is the way, is what Nanshuan said, and then he elaborated when asked, how do I do this? Otherwise we think not knowing is something we need to copy and emulate rather than seeing that when there's not knowing is most intimate, and there's something that Fayan opened up, as a result of that, they latch on to the not knowing. Because if we get caught in not knowing, there's just as well, someone could say, the one word knowing is the gate of myriad wonders. So said Hetze, one of the successors of the sixth ancestor. So it's the not holding on, not getting caught, whether in knowing or not knowing, whether in affirming or denying. It's the intimacy of this moment life most near that's our practice. There's a nice comment on this case that I like the turn of expression by Master Tozzi, which goes, once the golden dragon strays from the water, the giant Garuda bird quickly picks it up. Once we poke our head up, we're grabbed up in all sorts of difficulties. Nice turn of phrase, but shouldn't get caught in those either. So it's important for us to see and be this intimacy moment of our life, not because we're going to get anything else. That's what the verse begins. Now, having studied to full, it's like before. You don't lack anything at this very moment. And yet, we believe we do. So, study to full and then discover it's like before. Having shed entirely the finest thread, the finest entanglement, he reaches not knowing. And the comment on that line is, there is still this. Let it be short, let it be long, stop cutting and patching. Comment says, a waste of effort. That's, see, this is exactly where our life is. Going along with the high, along with the low, it levels itself. Always our practice is being this moment as we are, as we are. And that's what our zazen is, not to make our body-mind condition into a certain way, but, if I say it, to use caught and self-centered dream to pop into the experiencing, even experiencing so-called self-centered dream, as this body-mind moment. But experiencing is releasing the caught. See, shedding the entangling thread. The abundance or scarcity of the house is used according to the occasion. That's really the guidelines for our practice. When we have abundance, we use that. When we are poor, we live the life of being poor. When we are sitting and aching, we live the aching. when we are energized, comfortable, live fully that moment. That's important for us to see that our practice is not comparing ourselves to others or some self-image of how I should be. Always that gets us in trouble. Always comparing leads us to thinking he has, she has, I don't have, they don't have, I do have. And that entangling and twisting ourselves in that produces the suffering of not being this moment as we are. Not being this moment is not being able to respond. It's the responding as this moment, as called for, is really what our ongoing practice is. Responding when cold, responding when hot. When hot, being hot. When cold, being cold. It's the willingness to enter into the intimacy of the moment that this case is encouraging and reminding us. Not the willingness, but the encouragement to do so. Not knowing, that's it, most intimate. Roaming serenely in the land, he goes where his feet take him. The purpose of 10 years pilgrimage. Clearly he turned his back on one pair of eyebrows. The comment on that last phrase is, as before, they're above the eyes. Turning your back on one pair of eyebrows. This business of abundance or scarcity, or high and low, there's a nice phrase, the non-difference of all things doesn't mean that you add to a duck's legs or cut a crane's legs. Level mountains to fill valleys, and thereafter considering them on different. Let it be long, stop cutting and patching, going along with high, going along with low, it levels itself. So this is what we are saying when we say form is empty, empty is form. That means that when it's long, it's long. When it's short, it's short. That means when we're aching, we sit with that as best we can. When we're quiet, serene, settled, we be that. Always it's the intimacy of the myriad forms manifesting this emptiness that is our life. Emptiness just means, well, shouldn't say just means, I'm already saying too much, but if I explain, it's the not holding to the concepts and the related judgments about this, meaning just this. Being just this moment means emptiness is exactly this moment as it is, not as something else. Not as something else. So this case, as you've heard, is with Fayon. Well, really Lohan and Fayon. So the case ends at a certain point. He has an opening, but it's actually said that because of that, he continued. He and his friends decided to practice with Lohan. Then later on, he was walking with them. Lohan walking with Fayon and his companions, and they were in the garden, and there was a large boulder, and he pointed to it, he meaning Dizang, and said, "It is said in the sutras that the three worlds all are mind. Is this stone in the mind or outside of it?" So Fayon answered, "Oh, inside." And Dizang said to him, "You people go on pilgrimage. Why do you think that you carry along this big stone in your mind?" At that point, Fayon decided, "I'm lost." Couldn't answer, and decided to settle down and practice with Dizang for an extended period. And eventually, he and some of his companions succeeded him, so to speak, and became successors and established temples in various places. Why do we carry along the heavy stones in our mind? See, in a way, you could ask, what would he have said if it was outside? But this Fayon, who's also, as I said, in Sino-Japanese, his name is Hogen, was very well known, gave his name to one of the schools of Chan in China, which comes from his teacher Dizang, or Jizo, and before that the teacher Xuansha or Gensha. And they were particularly well known for their use of phrases and clarifying in a gentle way. Sometimes asserting, sometimes contradicting. They weren't the rough, tough schools. So I want to give you a few examples of how he worked with people. A monk asked him, "How can you reveal yourself so as to identify with the way?" Or, "How can I reveal myself so as to identify with the way?" And Fayon answered, "When did you reveal yourself and not identify with the way?" Another monk asked, "What is the direct way to obtain Buddha's wisdom?" Notice what they're doing. They're talking about something else, somewhere else. Vayan's answer. There's nothing more direct than this question. If you connect this back to the case, not knowing is most intimate, or not knowing is intimacy. Don't get caught in the not knowing. Yes, not knowing is intimacy when there's not knowing. Knowing is intimacy when there's knowing. He was asked, what should one do during the 12 periods of the day? Tread firmly with each step. Being just this step. Being just this step. Again asked, how can the ancient mirror reveal itself before it is uncovered? Answer, why should you reveal it again? Asked another time, what is the subtle idea of all Buddhas? It is what you also have. Our practice is always right here with us. It's not something else we have to go look for, but rather it is being this intimacy of our life without getting caught, blinded by our ideas about it and our concepts and entanglements to it. Or another way, Vayan quotes, the sage is not, has no self, yet nothing is not himself. Notice how nice that is. No, having no self, meaning not getting entangled, yet everything encountered is exactly ourself. Of course I'm explaining, but unfortunately sometimes that's necessary. In fact, Vayan goes on to say, you need to be aware that all things are identified with yourself. Why? Because in this world, not one isolated thing can be seen. This is always our task, is seeing how we isolate, which is called entangling, which is called judging, which is called self-centered dream, whether it's self-centered self or self-centered others, or self-centered like or self-centered dislike. And then we miss this, that we are this very life which is always available, manifesting, and always ours to manifest. Always ours to manifest. And yet, we need to make trouble. So, one master said, an ancient said, in the eyes it's called seeing, in the ears it's called hearing. But tell me, in the eyebrows, what is it called? He goes on to say, everyone knows the useful function, but they don't know the useless function. What is the meaning of Venerable's brushing his eyebrows with both his hands? And the comment on this. Brushing eyebrows, he said, meow. So, I've said enough. Good. Let's see if you have anything you want to say. Yes.
Well, I find when you're going over those stories, that it certainly knows how, it seems to really shut my mouth, but it doesn't stop my brain.
Well. So, let the brain run. You don't have to shut the brain. You just let it run along with everything else. As far as I know, your blood is pumping as well, and your stomach is doing its thing. Let the brain just produce the thoughts, come and go. But you are, nothing is other than yourself. Just be this moment. Be this experiencing in which, you know, mind chatter is just another part of the life of the moment that you are this, if I call it, say, experiencing, that's extra, but still I'll say that. We pay too much attention to our mind chatter in all the various forms. That's why we say session precautions, non-talking, non-looking around. It's not about stopping the talking, but it's not attending to it and reacting to it and following it along that enables us to inhabit and be the intimacy of our life moment. It's not that there's any problem with forms, but if we don't stick to the concepts and ideas and attachments to them, then right there is form is empty, empty is form. That relieves suffering. Seeing the emptiness of all things, Avalokiteshvara, relieves suffering and pain.
I'm sorry, I only caught the tail end of your talk. Well, I have to listen to it online. But I appreciated what you read about being without self and encountering only self.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of Dogen's phrase about carrying the self forward as opposed to the 10,000 things coming forth and actualizing the self.
Yeah. Many ways ancestors say it, sometimes even seemingly mutually contradictory, but it's always responding at the moment and not sticking to the responses. Otherwise we get in trouble with them. Otherwise we start quoting and remembering all those and we miss what's right in front of us. We don't have to accumulate lots of ideas. Don't have to do anything about them. Don't have to try to get rid of them. You know, do an operation and remove anything. You're human. And part of being human is thoughts and memories and all the other functioning to the extent they have them. When you have memories, good. When you can't remember, fine. I can't remember. Sorry, what's your name again? Or, oh, I went to the store and I had it on my list, but I didn't look at my list, so I came back without it. Or any of the other ways that our functioning and the functioning of others that we're with. They get angry, okay, walk away from them, but the next day they come and they say, I'm sorry I was angry, okay, thank you, and drop it. If we hold on to it, then we and they could be in an endless tangle and create suffering for each other and for others. Yes.
What was that part about the golden dragon?
Oh, that's a nice quote. Let me. Now, remember, that in a way is a comment on the case and on the poem. It's by Master Tozzi. Once the golden dragon strays from the water, the giant Garuda bird quickly picks it up. In other words, Garuda bird preys on the dragon.
Okay, so it's like a huge eagle or something?
Yes. Right. So think of it that way. So the if you get entangled in your thought, I'm going to explain it. But one way you could see this, well, let me. This is a comment in relation to. There's early a comment which goes in Dzogchen's method of guiding people. The hook is in an unsuspected place. Suddenly he gives a yank, and Fayan has a powerful insight. After all, it was right to begin with. And then there's two comments. One which says, Master Sichao says, in walking and sitting, just hold to the moment before thought arises. Look into it, and you'll see not seeing. Then put it to one side. When you direct your effort like this, rest does not interfere with zazen. Zazen does not interfere with rest. Then to that, Master Totsis added, once the golden dragon strays from the water, once, then the giant Garuda bird quickly picks it up. Once we start following along our looking around and our talking around, then we're all entangled in various ways.
We're the golden dragon out of the water.
Yes.
I was born in the year of the golden dragon.
Oh, okay.
So I better stay in the water.
Stay in the water.
Well, I left it.
So, but in a way, we don't have to get. I mean, it's not these expressions are nice, but if they don't speak to us, fine. Because what's important is to see how to make this our life practice, and to see when our effort is called for in the midst of this life, which is nothing but ourselves. Nothing but the intimacy moment, or if I say it differently, the opportunity of intimacy moment. And the opportunity doesn't require us to be other than as we are. And yet, we manage to be other than as we are over and over by entangling. That's the point. That's why when we start the practice principles, it starts with caught in self-centered dream. That's the straying from the water, holding to self-centered thought. See, it's that, and yet those habits seem natural to us. It seems like, well, of course, if there's this mind chatter, I have to attend to it. That's what's important for me to do, isn't it? Wendy.
Yeah, that image, I thought of two things. One is that the image of this huge, you know, beast in water really speaks to something that you said to me today, which is that there's can be a really intense pressure feeling, for example.
Uh-huh.
And then the practice is to be in that without the adding of a grip, like a...
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that helped me quite a lot. And what I was aware of was a feeling that it felt more like I was in water, like a more fluid, softer, just allowance of this movement. And so this Garuda, well, the Garuda part is snatching, but this big beast and the water. And the other thing that it speaks to is I've been reading about how your body responds better to images.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the right hemisphere that kind of goes deep into, like when you're healing, if you're ill, the imagery, visualization,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, pictures, and that this part of the brain can be guided effectively through imagery rather than verbal instruction. And so I thought, well, this is a beautiful
mm-hmm.
poem that speaks to how these pictures can really provide a kind of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the next time I'm sort of gripping, I'm going to let my beast of this, you know, this big beast that's kind of stepping onto land, you know, just let him get back in the water, you know, where
uh-huh.
there's no place to step.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bottom, there's no
mm-hmm.
top, you know, it's a beautiful way of expressing the experience of moment to moment, which is not, it's more like water than land, you know, or at least that's
okay.
been my experience. So those are my two comments.
Thank you. As I've said, no need to remember or figure out anything. What resonates and with you, fine. What doesn't, let it pass. I raise up some of the ones that I find useful, but don't worry about the specific, because the point of speaking is to encourage and support your practice, not for you to remember these ancient masters' names and what they said and didn't say and who said what. Yeah.
Well, I think you said this, so I don't know why I feel like I need to. But when you were going through the different, instances where
mm-hmm.
someone said something to Fayan or asked a question,
mm-hmm.
and then Fayan's response, just that all the questions that were being asked were conceptual, coming
mm-hmm.
from thought, and all the answers were right back here.
Yeah.
Right back here.
Well, often our questions come because we've thought them out. And one of the hallmarks of Fayan, is either often repeating or affirming what the student asks, and sometimes contradicting it. So that's a hallmark of his style. Not the only things, but one of the things. I'll close with this very interesting. Once he was giving a talk, and a monk came forward, bowed, and the master said, "You may ask a question." But just as the monk was about to ask, the master said, "The abbot has yet has not yet begun his lecture, so no question will be answered. So, please continue your practice, and thank you for your practice efforts.